Well, you know, this is still in due season. All right? My message is not going... I have a message today rather than going into the Torah and in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to continue on because so many things are left out on Thursday. And I went through so many notes, but there's some important things I want us to kind of keep in focus. Okay, one thing I want to say, though, before we start, is that irregardless of what we or as individuals think or believe, irregardless of what the world around us think or believe, there is something that is very truthful in its fact. And that is this. This is what I read, all right, at a wedding ceremony when I present have people before me and I give them a wedding, perform the wedding. Man did not establish it. Elohim established it at the time he created man and woman on this earth. It therefore derives its authority not from the civil codes of man, but from the divine laws of Elohim. They are immutable, unchangeable, from creation throughout all eternity. Amen. We do not get to say, you can marry anybody you want. We don't get to say, I want to marry this individual, even though they're the same sex. You don't have that right. Civil laws say yes. But you're going to face the Creator because you violated one of His most very beginning of His laws. That was quoted already. And I think Jeff quoted that statement about what Yahshua said. Yes?
Fine, sorry.
Okay. You know, I'll be kind to somebody who is, you know, that style of life, but I'm sorry. If it offends them, it offends them. I can't do much about that because the Word of God is very powerful. And as I said to you Thursday, that the subject matter of the trumpets is, of all of the holy days, it is the most predominant one that is spoken about. It more than any other period of time in modern man, because everything has to do with, and the Bible quotes it quite often, the last great trumpet, not just a trumpet, but the great trumpet when it blows. And that great trumpet is going to be something. Now, in one sense, when the trumpet is blown, it's not that people are put on trial. They already have gone before the Creator and have been found wanting. Now, when the return of the Messiah comes, it is the sentence being carried out of the judgment that was already laid upon them in the throne of God. All right? Now, in this particular area, so I want to continue on with the trumpets because though I'm just going to read some things off here, then I'll tell you where I read it from or got it from, but I didn't want you to hear it for a moment. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye, when he lifts up an ensign on the mountains, and when he blows a trumpet, hear ye. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand up for an ensign in the people. So it shall that the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the spruce with the pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. Now, I'm reaching what's called the feast. I'll tell you in a minute. We call it Feast of Tabernacles, right? It's the last feast. And it's the one feast that has tremendous amount of produce from that which buds and that which, in this case, the sour grape. In other words, the wine is not going to be harvested. All right? Now, this comes from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. 4, and 5. I inserted also Isaiah 11, chapter 10. Because these things kind of come together. Because when we think of an ensign or a flagship or a flag, you know, that which is standard, it's not something that we kind of picture on a flag, because it says there in Isaiah, it is Joshua himself, Yahweh, the Messiah himself, who is the flagship. He's the one that's carrying the banner. He is the banner. All right? So when we think about the Feast of Trumpets, and I wanted to continue on this because I think it's very important. There's certain things that are always stayed very common in the prophets. And there was another, we'll get to a location of a certain prophet. But when there are certain phrases being mentioned by God, certain statements being made by God, we'll see this also in the New Testament. All right? It's the words of, in that day. I mean, it's in that day, something is going to happen and take place. Now, let's go to Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27 and verse 1. Very interesting word. And that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the princing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. All right, so remember what Jesus said in the very beginning, just before he was on the end of his life, when he said, judgment has already been sentenced now. You remember those words? Should we remind you of that? Look at John. Book of John. If I can find that real quick. I didn't write these down because I didn't... I'll get there. Hold on. In the 16th chapter of the book of John, verse 7. We all kind of know this by heart. Well, let's read what it says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it or him to you. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, when did it start? Day of Pentecost, right? Started then. Now, is it completed? Oh, no. It's still in the process of being completed. Still in the process of being. What's happening here? Of sin? Now, he's going to be convicted, right? Found guilty. All right? Sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is now judged. That's when he was judged. Now the sentence is to be carried out. And we have to be ready and patient and waiting for that sentence. Because sometimes we think God delays his punishment. God delays his time. God delays his word. Well, let's take a look back here now in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. I don't know what your religious background has been in the past, but a lot of people believe that the devil will never die. They believe very strongly the devil will never die. And yet we have here the word of God, I am going to do what? I'm going to kill you. Now, do we believe what God says? Or do we want to go into theological schooling and accept what theologians say? And they ignore what God just said here in Isaiah. They have to accept the reality. What, you know, we talk about when it says ashes under his feet, what do you think that means? Some kind of theological thing that he really isn't, they're not really ashes. He's not really burnt up. He's not turned into complete ashes. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Everything turned into complete ash. So much so that you can't burn anything more there. Nothing's burnable. Cannot be burnt. Because there's nothing there to burn. It doesn't exist. All right? Verse 2. In that day, sing unto her a vineyard of white wine. A previous chapter had to do with the house of Israel. And I, the Lord, to keep it. I will water it in every moment, lest it hurt. And I will keep it day and night. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? That's an interesting statement. 27th chapter. Now, stop and think about that statement he just said. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? That's a really odd statement, don't you think? What do you think he's talking about? What are briars? What are thorns?
They're weeds. They're
stickery. He says, guess what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to race straight through them, and I'm going to burn them all together. As far as he's concerned, you set an army against him, it's briars and thorns. They're just as worthless as they can be, and I'm going to go right straight through them. I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to burn them up. All right? It's a real simple thing. We'll drop down to verse 12 right now. Verse 12. And I shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, shall beat off from the channel of the river of the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. In that day. Now God is going to start gathering this. When is he going to do that? In that day. What day? Well, when you look at what he said in the very beginning, as Messiah said in the very beginning, when he comes and the great horn or the great sound of the trumpet blows, what's going to take place? A great gathering together. Okay, so you look at this thing and he says, oh, I'm going to gather them, but one by one. What that means is not a single one of them will be left behind. I'm going to take every one of them. Not one will be left behind that I am going to gather. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day, listen to this, the great trumpet shall be blown. Remember the feast of trumpets? See, sometimes in our world, and both the Christian world and the Jewish world, they think of the feast of trumpets. They don't even use that word. They might use the word truach, or sounds of noise, but they haven't got the picture here. Most of the people think of, what do they think it is? Rosh Hashanah. And that has no meaning. That word has no meaning within the Bible. When you use that word, and people come up and tell me, do you keep Rosh Hashanah? I said, no. I tell them, no, I don't. And then I leave. Huh? Because, see, I don't call it that. I call it what it is. And the best thing I can call it, so they don't understand it in English, I tell them what it is. It's the Feast of Trumpets. Because I know what it's all about. Remember what Jeff said at Thursday at our house?
Pay attention.
That's a very powerful statement. I'm glad he said that. Because, see, that is the object of a trumpet. All right? Now, we're going to listen to some of the things he said. Because that great trumpet is going to be blown. And once I must have a great blood in the trumpet, a lot of things would take place. Isaiah 58, verse 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter of Isaiah 58. When the feast of day of feast of the fasting day, next Sabbath, by the way, we are going to have and keep the Day of Atonement on Sabbath rather than on Wednesday or Thursday. Which they do, because see, the moon wasn't spotted in the right location. And the reason why the Jews do a postponement, they move it up because they don't want a possibility of you fasting on a Friday. So they move it up. Because you're fasting on Friday, that means you can't eat on the next day. So 2 days. They don't want to do that. But see, God didn't put those restrictions in there, did he? So we're going to go with what we believe very strongly, what it means, what it says. And so we're going to walk that direction. Now, God's going to correct us if we're wrong. Like I told Dave earlier this morning, that when God begins to correct us, says, okay, I know your heart, your spirit, your soul, what you do right. But this one thing I want you just to, I got to correct something in you. I'm going to move you from, you know, a Sunday to Sabbath. Oh, you know, God makes a nice correction. He deals with you, deals with me, teaches us. And so we come to the Word of God. Wherever background, our religious background was, we have had a good, solid beginning. And he says, okay, now I'm going to correct this issue in you. I correct this point in you. And he moves you very gently. You know why? One by one, we are all being moved. All right? One by one, we are all being moved. We're not moved as a group, as a giant, massive one, because it says narrow is the way. And in Greek, it means how narrow is that narrow? It's extremely narrow. So narrow that who is the door? And by the way, the door is not a big, broad, shopping center, mall, door. It's going to be big enough for you to get in, and the person with you is just going to have to step aside and wait until you pass through. Or vice versa, you may have to step aside like somebody else, pass through that door, all right? And the time comes, you get to enter into that door, and that's what it is. Now, Isaiah 58, cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, I'll read verse 2 in a minute. But this very strange thing, we're talking about what's going on here in the state of California. And believe you, I hope you understand this, the politicians in this state have been told time and time and time again by religious leaders, do not allow this bill to pass. Do you think they're going to listen? Verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, yet they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They ask me the ordinance. They take delight in the approaching to God. Why must I, as I say, why should I have to lift up my voice and cry aloud because of the sins? Because they yet seek me. They don't really seek me. They say, well, yeah, we're righteous people. We're nice people. We seek what God wants us to do. How much do you want to do? Well, you know, this chapter goes on about calling the fast. We'll talk about that next week. Here alone and of and by itself, what is it telling you? They're not out there to seek him. They're not out there to seek his will. They're not out there to seek what he, the creator of heaven, is after. They just have an image. And he said, I want you to cry out aloud and show my people the transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Oh, yes, they do seek me daily. However, the method by which they seek me is they don't really care one thing what I think or say. That's the bombshell of that chapter. Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. I'm going through this pretty quick because I want to reach some points.
16.
Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. Starting verse 1. Now, see, if the trumpet's blowing, we got to know where we're going, right? When I told you about the 10th chapter of Numbers, of the three methods of the blowing, what they're for, what they're about, one of them is to gather us all together, right? And that's that big, great last trumpet, right? If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not be removed. You know what we're doing? We're not putting these abominations out of sight at all. In fact, we establish that which is abomination unto the Creator, and we say, God bless America. God bless the people. God bless you. As we sign pieces of bills, a piece of paper, we support everything contrary to the sound of the Word of God. Do you think God's going to say, oh, that's okay, I'll look at this time. Look, I think it's coming, people. This is my personal, Richard's belief. I think it's going to come. It's going to come down hard. Yeah. Are we ready to feel the pain ourselves as individuals here in this room? Are we ready to receive and feel the pain then when our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, the ones that we love and be with, and God comes against them? Are you ready to feel the pain? I'll tell you, it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy for you. You're not going to think, oh, thank God you delivered me from it. You're going to look at these people that you have cherished, known, and loved, and want to be part of it. They're part of your world. Are they part of your life? Because they're still part of you. And they're going to be damaged. And you're going to be sitting there, and you could do absolutely nothing about it. I think at that time you could do an awful lot of sighing, an awful lot of crying. Not wailing against God. Not the wailing and gnashing of teeth, but crying and sighing. It's not going to be a piece of cake, people. And I want to tell you this because I think it's very, very important. Because this Day of Atonement, this Day of Trumpets, is not happening one day. Indication of Scripture, Book of Revelations, looks like it lasts for minimum 7 years. A long, prolonged day in and day out, day in and day out. And the prophecy, which I did not look up today, but what time is all over with, it says it will take the people of Israel 12 months solid to bury the dead. 12 months to bury the dead. That's a long time. And I'm thinking, honestly, if we are spirit beings, guess what we're going to be doing? Helping them bury the dead. We're going to have our hands involved. Because they can't do it. A human body, a human frame, a human being couldn't keep that going for that length of time. It's very difficult. Have you ever thought about that? When the kingdom is set up, there's a lot of work that has to be done from the damage of the day of the Lord. All right? And that trumpet sound, yes, it is a sound. And yes, if that long last blast, guess what? Those who are in Christ come and they're united together. But there is a tremendous amount of destruction that's going to take place. Verse 5. Declare ye to Judah, and publish it in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standards before Zion. Retire, say not, for I will bring evil from the north. with a great destruction. Now, that word from the north is used quite often in the Bible. Where do you think the north is going to come? And blowing the trumpets in Zion, the book of Joel, I will send him from the north to go against Zion. The warnings against Zion. Zion, I have declared war upon you, and I'm going to bring the king of the north down against you. He's going to win. The book of Revelation tells you very clearly that when the devil goes after, the dragon goes after the remnant of the woman, he wins. You remember that? He wins. All that is a relationship to the time of the Lord when he is going to move in. And sometimes we have to kind of look at the truth. Jeremiah 6th chapter. Sounding of the trumpet. What I'm trying to tell you today is that sometimes we think about the Feast of Trumpets. Yes, we are to rejoice and be happy because that's our gathering together before God. And God is going to bless us and get us out of, what you said, term. Because he said, I will gather together mine from all four corners of the earth on that day. And lo and behold, though, guess what? Chapter 6, verse 1, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves together and flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hachrim. For evil appears out of the north and great destruction. How many of people know the doctrine of Islam? Speak up. What do the Muslims believe?
Well, they have five, quote, pillars of Islam. Is that what you mean? I mean, there's a lot to Islam. It's
okay. Ellie?
They believe that the
Mahdi
will come back alive. He died as a young person many years ago, and he will go and kill Jesus, the son of Mary.
That's only the Shiites.
Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
The doctrine is strong. What's his name? This guy here. What's his name?
The Shiites are a minority in the Islamic world. They only make up 10 to 15% of the Islamic world. They're the ones that believe in Ismaili. Most Muslims don't.
Ahmadinejad believes in it.
Yeah, because Iran is mostly Shiite.
Correct.
But they are not the majority of the, you know, Muslims in Indonesia. Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country.
But where is this Mohammedan supposed to, what is this guy supposed to come from?
North.
North. What's north of Israel?
Turkey.
Turkey. You know what? What was Turkey before World War I?
You actually have all of the Balkan states that are north of Israel, which are all, that's
Kazakhstan.
It's all Islamic. That's all
Islamic.
Yes.
It was the, what was the name of the empire?
Ottoman.
The Ottoman Empire. What was it?
Muslim.
You know what they know? It was the last leg of the Roman Empire.
Oh. Yeah.
You know the left, the two legs?
Right.
One's east, one's west.
Daniel.
It didn't go down until end of World War I. We think, Roman Empire died in 700 AD. Wait a minute. That's not what they say. It didn't get destroyed until 1918. And so you start thinking about what's going on here. Now, he said from the north. Constantly we talk about the north. Now, who in Scripture wants to rule the north?
Satan.
Satan.
Satan wants to rule the north, right. He wants to go in there and he comes from the north. So it's very interesting what's going to happen here. Hosea chapter 8. First, you read the last verse in chapter 7. This has to do with the house of Israel, by the way. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bough. They and their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision. I'll get it out yet. In the land of Egypt. Now I go to the 8th chapter here. And he said, now I shall unto Hosea, sound the trumpet, put it to your mouth, get it out there, as the eagle's going to go against the Lord, the house of the Lord, because they, the house of Israel, has transgressed my covenant and has surpassed and transgressed my laws. So when we think about the Feast of Trumpets, it is a time when God is going to say, what are you going to do? I have given you warning, I have given warning, and I've given you warning. Oh, you read about Joel? But let's go to Joel, second chapter.
What's that thing you just read?
Joel, second chapter. I'm sorry, Joel, second chapter.
No, what were you reading before? Jeremiah 8?
No, it's here. Hosea 8.
Hosea 8. And what verse?
One. I just read off the one about... What a prophet. We'll talk about a prophet in a minute, okay? Okay. Now here, Joel chapter 2. We have this little dance we have out here. As long as, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand. What is the day of the Lord? You know, it's not a place where it's going to be a picnic, is it?
Darkness and no light.
Gloominess, mourning, danger, great people and strong people. There have not ever been in the like, neither shall be ever after it. They're going to go against Zion. Very powerful nation. All right? So sometimes you think about that song we sing. Remember, God's going to come against, and he said he's going to come against Israel first. And he says, why? I chose you. I called you. I brought you out. You're the ones I called. Yes.
Verse 6 says, all faces are drained of color.
Yes.
So people are terrified.
They're terrified. Mm. Amos. Chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear the word, hear this word. The Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. Not one of them is going to be off the hook here. All 12 tribes here are in trouble, including the Levitical tribe. And he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Wow. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. Can two walk together except they agree? Now, see that statement, can two walk together except they agree? It's not referring to man and woman. The Apostle Paul used it as an example. It's between the creator of heaven and earth and the house of Israel. We cannot walk together. We cannot do it. And therefore, verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord have not done it? Now, so when we think about the day of the Lord, now Day of Atonement is coming up, and it's a nice picture because there's something within the book of Revelations, which I hope to be able to get to today, that kind of gives you a little bit of an example of what's going to happen. Because it says there that the Lamb, his feet is on the Mount Zion. Remember, we got 144,000 with him? And the end of that chapter says Blessed are they who die in the Lord from this time on. Now, the only way I can see that happening is that people come so terrified that when it comes to the Day of Atonement, they will repent. Because if they don't, there is no fruit available. All right. Let's go on to back to Isaiah. Chapter 2 and verse 12. You know, the book of Revelations, it says that where was John at? And what day was it?
The day of the Lord.
Not the Lord's day, but the day of the Lord. The whole thing is about. Okay? Which is really not one day, but a time period. We know that. All right? That's very clear in Hebrew, very clear in Greek, very clear in English. We understand that. It's a time period. And God puts a time limit. We don't know how in our minds. We haven't, and quote, blocked it down yet because maybe God doesn't want us to know the blocking of time. We could assume, we can think, or we can hear other people say they know. But we still have to kind of keep ourselves open. Most of you have probably have heard Daniel's timeline CD thing. Very fascinating. And very interesting. He may have some points that are very close, but he may not. But still interesting because he concentrates totally on the holidays, an entire process. Very fascinating. Chapter 2, verse 12 of Isaiah. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we in our world, you in this church, this little group here, I'm not saying that you are, but because you're here and you're responding to God, not just here in this building, but I mean Christians and people who really believe God, they are really not a lofty people. They're not low people. They're not down there trying to challenge God on everything. And there are an awful lot of people out there, like in, you know, where Jess work is at. He may be the one and only, but there may be somebody else in there who believes just as strong as you, but he had enough guts to come out and say it.
It's true.
Because it's fear. It's a fearful thing to stand up. They're not going to pat you on the back and say, what a brave young man. They're going to say, you idiotic fool, you're out of here. That's what they may say to you, right? And they say to either one of us. Yes.
Well, also, because of the concept of being whisked away as believers, we have not been taught that we will have to stand up and we need to train for that.
You have to stand, you know. Like I said, the whole armor of God. Why do you have the whole armor of God if you're not going to use it?
The doctrine of the rapture is very late. It's like late 19th, early 20th.
Oh, yeah.
Century.
It was 18,
yeah, eight, the biggest deception.
1850 or something like that when that guy came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the 13th chapter of Isaiah. 13th chapter of Isaiah. Another powerful statement here. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty.
So verse 6.
Verse 8. They shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall be take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be flames. Behold, verse 9, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both, with wrath.
Verse 9.
Isaiah 13th chapter.
13th chapter.
And fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Of course, we're talking about the land here in the land of Israel. We're going to purify and purify that country once again. But not just that land, any land that the Israelites are supposed to have on the face of the earth is going to be purifying. All right? The day of the Lord. The time is at hand. And all these statements we see here had directly association with the wrath of God coming. And we kind of think, oh, maybe it's another 3,000 years from now.
Yeah.
Because you know why? All things are as they were from the beginning. Nothing changes.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing what?
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. Same song and dance.
They've been saying that for years.
The reason why, you heard the story, you know, most of you know the story about Chicken Little, don't you?
Yeah.
You know that's a total ridicule against Christians? You thought maybe it's not? It's total ridicule against Christians? Because the Christians are always out there warning. Sky is falling, sky is falling. Well, no, I mean the sky. I mean, God's coming, God's coming. Repent. Oh, you're a Chicken Little, aren't you? It's an insult. So we don't use those words anymore today, do we? I remember growing up and kids calling Chicken Little and I didn't know what it meant. So I'd call somebody Chicken Little, not knowing where it came from. You know, every time you said something, you didn't know where it came from. That was just a funny thing to say. Oh, you're a chicken. Yeah, worry, don't. Mom's going to catch you. Oh, Chicken Little, you don't catch me. You know, all kind of got stuff as you're growing up. One thing we know for sure, though, every child when they're little, mommy always has eyes in the back of her head. They see, they know exactly what's going on when they can't even see what's going on. That's because the woman is so much aware of everything around about them. It's like when you play, a woman tries to play baseball, she has a hard time. She's trying to play every base all at the same time. And therefore, it's really difficult for a woman to play baseball because they're not playing the position. They're aware of every spot that's on the field. Yeah. They know every position. Mm-hmm. And a guy says, what's my job? First base. Okay. That's it. He doesn't move. That's his job. Third base doesn't exist for his mind. Doesn't exist. Home plate doesn't exist in his mind. Nothing exists. Just first place. I can stop this guy from here. I can stop this guy getting here. I've done my job. Beyond that point, who cares who gets home? That's not an insult. Just how the mind has been set by God, because the woman has both sides of her brain work at the same time. Men don't. They have to make one side work and close off the other side. Then when he closes it off to open up that one, you know, they have to work at it, you know. I just want to say that to you because I think it's kind of comical. Isaiah 34, verse 8. I want to finish this up. Isaiah 34, verse 8. It's talking about verse 8, 34, verse 8, Isaiah. For the day of the Lord's vengeance is the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. A year. Now here we know, at least going to last a year. So it's not just a day, it's got time being. He's going to come back and he's going to take vengeance. Vengeance against those who went against Zion, even though he sent the army against Zion because he has to punish Zion first. Now he'll go around and punish those guys who punished Zion. That's crazy. It's insane. No. Because, see, those people still don't know who God is. God can use any tool he wants. Jeremiah 48:46 chapter, verse 10. I think I read this already. But Jeremiah 46, verse 10. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour it, and shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord of hosts, has a sacrifice in the north country by the river of Euphrates. That's where we go kill him. We won't go there prophecy wise. Lamentations. 46. These are just statements in the call of the day of the Lord. If you want to know, you can go online and keep in that word day of the Lord and key it in, and it's going to tell you where they're at. And that's a quick way to find out where we're at. And have a good overall picture, okay? All right, now, Lamentations, verse 2. Oh, chapter 2, rather. Now, this is, the book of Lamentations is Jeremiah's writings of how he was in great pain. Not what was happening to him. What was happening to the nation of Judah. So I'm saying is that when you read Lamentations, and when the wrath of God comes, you'll probably wind up lamentating like Jeremiah did. All right? When God moves in and he starts doing his work, no matter how much Jeremiah wanted things to be different, they didn't get changed. Verse 22. Lamentations 2, verse 22. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terror around about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger, none escape and none remain. Those that I have swaddled and brought up, hath mine enemies consumed. So those that you have enemies out there that you don't really know, but the people you love and you cherish and care about, your enemy, which you recognize quickly when it happens, will defeat them. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be hurtful. So I want you to know, when we talk about the day of the Lord, when we talk about the Feast of Trumpets, yes, it is and has something to do with rejoicing, because we'll be called together in that last trump, as I said Thursday. But there is something else that's going to happen after, quote, we have been gathered together. We're going to see destruction, because that's what it's all about. And it's his destructions. Turn to Malachi. And it's going to be the fourth chapter, verse 5. Most of you know this by heart. Malachi. I'm sorry, what? Verse 5. We all know it, don't we? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The spirit of Elijah.
4, 5.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, basically. The whole chapter is a very fascinating.
The Jewish Bible is going to be chapter 3, verse 24.
Yeah. Okay, you don't have to turn to these, but I'm just going to read off some things from the New Testament. And so we kind of key in this word of the day of the Lord. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, deliver such one unto Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So what we see here is, let the body be destroyed for the sake that when the Lord returns, when he calls forth, he blows that trump, this man will be there. If you don't, he's telling the Corinthians, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, all right, this man will not be there when he blows that trumpet. So let the devil take him. And what's the devil going to do?
Straighten him out.
So what?
Destroy him.
Destroy him in the flesh. Because he asks what the devil eats, dirt. All right. First Corinthians, Second Corinthians. No, I don't want to go there. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse chapter 5, verse 2. You all know this too. For yourself know pretty well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And then continue on as we will not be caught, because we are not the children of darkness, we are the children of light, so we will not be caught off guard. Right? That's what it says there. I don't want to read the whole thing. But I just want to talk about the day of the Lord. Here is 1, 2, 3, 4 places in 2 Peter, verse 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, catching you completely off guard. So all of our friends and our relatives, when it comes to this time of the Feast of Tabernacle, Feast of Trumpets, rather, yes, it is a joyfulness for us, but just don't think that it's going to be all one-sided. We're going to be facing a tragedy. We're going to be facing sorrow. We know even God does not want to punish Israel. Why must I punish you, O Israel? That's not what I want to do. But you give me no choice. And sometimes we have to kind of look at God from that point of view. Yes, Jeff.
Well, you know, that I would say that probably one reason for punishing Israel would be is that Israel are supposed to be his ambassadors. And Israel, by, you know, thumbing their nose at God, is giving the whole world the wrong idea of who God is.
Yeah, like
or Apostle, no idea.
Apostle Peter, Paul talked about it amongst you because of your conduct, the Gentiles think God is, yeah, blaspheming God because of your conduct. That's true. But I just want you to know, what I wanted to finish this part about the Feast of Trumpets, because it's an awful lot of information to do, and it's not just a casual one day. It's an event that lasts for a long time. And it's an event that's going to be bringing forth a lot. In fact, the Bible speaks more of sorrow and tragedy and destruction on the day of the Lord than and the Feast of Trumpets than any other aspect. Yes.
What Jeff just said, people can perceive as we read through this that this is just speaking of the Jews. But the other side of the famine, called Israel, well, is a lot bigger than that. There's a lot more kids.
But not only that. I didn't get all the scriptures. That blow the trumpet in Moab. Blow the trumpet in Jordan. What's the name of Jordan?
Moab.
Yeah. Blow the trumpet in Egypt. Blow. So it's not just. We're only reaching what I reached today because I didn't get all that information. It's just too much. So the warning is not just us. It's worldwide warning. They will see him.